We were talking in the back room. There's a lot of folk on pills and medication that would love to understand what we're talking about. This will save you a lot of that. It's amazing. You watch television and the commercials come on. So many of the commercials are for medications. And they've even started saying, are you troubled? Are you worried? You know, take this pill. It's like they're trying to fix something that only the Word fixes. I want a permanent, I don't want a Band-Aid on a cancer kind of thing. I want my real answer, don't you? Dominion that we have, I'm going to share this morning, or in this session, I should say, on the area of the emotions. The soul is made up of the mind, will, and emotions. We talked briefly about the mind, and we could talk more, but it just was in my heart to talk some about the emotions. This is an area, you can go to Hebrews verse number 4, I believe. There's a verse here that I think if we understood this better, where am I at? It's chapter number 4. I was right the first time. If we understood this better, Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 12. If the body of Christ understood this better, I think we would have some answers for some people. The humanity is made up of spirit, soul, and body. We are spirit beings. We have a soul. We live in a body. Most psychologists today, they recognize the soul and the body. They don't want to talk about the spirit, because if we talk about the spirit, then we have to acknowledge there's a God.
Right.
Yeah. We don't want to do that. So, you know, hey, this is just an emotional thing.
Yeah.
You know. So they just want to talk about the soul, and they've dug into it and tried to figure some things out. But this verse is interesting here. Before I read it, let me remind you, we are spirit, soul, and body. And so we're spirit beings. We have a soul and we live in a body.
That's right.
Your soul is your possession. It's not the real you.
That's right.
Your body is your possession. It's not the real you.
That's right.
For example, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I keep under my body.
Yes.
So he is not his body.
That's right.
He's saying, my body is my possession. It's not the real me. I, the real me, the spirit man, is dominating. Get this. Is dominant in my life.
Amen.
Part of walking in dominion is walking out of your spirit.
Yeah, glory.
And I'll tell you why. Because the only part of your being, remember we were raised up together and made to sit together with Jesus in heavenly places. The only part of your being that was raised with Christ was your spirit man.
Hallelujah.
Your mind and your body were not.
That's right.
So if you live out of your mind or your body, let your mind or your body dominate you and control you, you will not live in dominion, because the part of your being who was created to be and raised to be above was your spirit man, not your flesh, not your mind.
Amen.
Or your emotions. You'll never walk in dominion walking and living out of your emotions.
That's right. Amen.
But the problem is, a lot of people don't know the difference between their soul and their emotions, their emotion part of their soul, and their spirit.
Yes.
Because the deepest part of your soul is your emotions. And so it's right next to the spirit, but it's not the spirit man.
Right.
But there are multitudes of people who don't know the difference between their soulical affections and the leading of the spirit.
Yes, sir. Come on, sir.
We could share on this real long time.
Come on.
Because you'll hear people say, and even Christians, follow your passion. Passions are seated in the emotions.
That's right.
Passion is not of your spirit, man.
That's right.
My passion is whatever. Music. You know. The Bible says nowhere to follow your passions. We're not led by passions. We're led by the Spirit.
Amen.
Which bears witness with our spirit, not our emotions.
That's right.
I've had leadings in my life a number of times that my emotions pouted about.
Yep. Amen.
That I had to get a hold of my emotions.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yep. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yep.
Because it wasn't what my affections, if you say, what do you mean affections? You look up the word, the word affections is in the Bible. Mm-hmm. It says we are to set our affections on things above.
Yeah.
Affections are the emotions.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Okay, so Hebrews chapter number 4 says this in verse number 12. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing, circle the word dividing, asunder, of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. The joints and marrow, you can circle those two words and put a line out to the margin and say body. Joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word discerner means a revealer. So he said the word is alive. Quick means alive. The word is powerful. And it divides. This is the only thing that's going to enable you to divide between your spirit, your soul, and your body. It helps you to recognize which part of your being is talking to you.
Come on now. Yeah.
Your spirit has a voice. It's called conscience.
Yep.
Your soul has a voice. And the voice of the emotions in your soul is your emotions. Your soul has a voice in the emotions.
Yep.
It's called feelings. And then your body has a voice. It's called, you know, the senses of feelings.
That's right.
Somebody hits you on the shoulder, you can feel that.
Yeah.
So each part of your being has a voice.
Right.
And they're going to talk to you.
That's right.
I say sometimes the Bible said there's three. The Bible said, remember over there in 1 Corinthians, it says there's many voices in the world, none of them without signification.
Yeah.
I always say there's many voices in the world and there's three in you.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, there's a voice of your conscience in you. There's a voice of your flesh in you. And there's the voice of your soul in you.
Yeah. Amen.
Your emotions is one of those voices, the
That's
voice
right.
of your soul.
Amen.
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 Now, to walk in dominion means that you let your spirit man rule you and not your flesh or your mind or your emotions.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
You'll never walk in dominion letting your emotions rule you.
Right.
So this verse says the Word of God is the only thing that can divide between those things. If you and I fail to get the Word of God in us, then what happens is we start thinking it is one voice, but it's not. It's the other. Especially when it comes to the spirit and the soul.
Yeah, amen.
People take offense. They take hurts.
Uh-huh.
They take what somebody said and get hurt about it.
Right.
And they have feelings of offense and all sorts of emotional reactions. Mm-hmm. And they follow those and think they're being led of the spirit.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
And they say, I was led of the Spirit to do that. And I noticed that leading always led them to separate from where God put them.
Right. Amen.
Come on now. I'm going to preach better than you're going to amen this morning if you don't hurry up and get better at it. Amen.
Amen.
People take hurts and they take offense, and those emotional reactions, which the source of that is in the spirit, don't misunderstand me.
Right.
The enemy brings these things to us,
right.
But it affects our emotions,
right.
And people follow that right into separating from where God put them.
Right.
And they say they were led to do it, and when I did it, I got a release. That was not a release in their spirit, that was a release in their emotions from being under the control of what the spirit man was saying we're going to do.
Right.
Wow.
Amen.
They don't recognize the difference because they don't have enough of the word in them.
Right.
They respond to emotional things thinking they're being led of the spirit.
Yeah.
And that release they had was not a release in their spirit. It was a relief on their flesh.
Yeah.
Their flesh got to do what it wanted, and it's no longer under the dominion of their spirit man.
Yeah.
And so their flesh and their emotions are ruling them. Their feelings are ruling them.
Yeah.
And the relief they got was not a release in their spirit.
That's right.
But they don't know the difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I always tell people, stay until you get past that pressure to separate.
Amen.
And once you get on top of that, then see what God's talking to you
Amen.
About.
Amen.
It's always the fact, as soon as they get through it, they don't want to leave.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Tell your neighbor, he's preaching pretty good already.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, following your emotions opens the door to the devil.
Yep.
Go over to 1 Samuel chapter number 16. There will be, you ever heard of the term, I guess there's people use different terms actually, but have you ever heard the term, I'll use a couple of them, you ever heard the term somebody having a dark cloud over their head? Yeah. Somebody will say something like that, or they'll talk about, I'm just oppressed, things of that nature, different terms people use. The enemy, through yielding to him, through certain things people do to yield to him, they open the door to the enemy to oppress their soul.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to bind their soul and their emotions.
Yeah. Amen.
1 Samuel chapter number 16, did I say which chapter it was? Verse number 13 through 15. Now, this chapter, before I read these verses here, this chapter follows, these verses that I'm about to read follows scripture after scripture, really chapter after chapter of King Saul, because remember God had anointed Saul to be king in Israel.
Right.
But this is after he had flunked, so to speak, he had failed. And God said, God told Samuel, I want you to go down to Jesse's house and anoint David to be king.
Right.
For I'm not going to use Saul anymore. I'm taking my anointing off of him. So when David was anointed, actually, Saul found out that David was God's choice. And he chased David for chapter after chapter, tried to kill him, and was living in offense, was living in unforgiveness, jealousy, all of these kinds of things towards David. And scripture after scripture, chapter after chapter of him doing that is followed by these verses I'm getting ready to read. Look at chapter number 16, verse number 13. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, that's David, in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah, I guess is how you say that. Then from verse 14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. That's the anointing on him to be king.
Uh-huh.
Now an evil spirit from God troubleth, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. And we looked the other day, from God is that the Hebrew doesn't have any permissive verb. You might remember, you can notice that in some Hebrew study helps and so forth. It doesn't have any permissive verb. It makes everything sound causative.
Right.
So it says it was from the Lord. We know it wasn't from the Lord. The Lord doesn't send evil to anybody.
Right.
But the Lord, this evil spirit, really from Satan, permitted by God because of Saul's disobedience,
right,
troubled him. Now, if you read the accounts of the troubling, David, God had anointed David. And the troubling, the jealousy and the offense and the desire to kill David and so forth really came out of unforgiveness because God was doing something in his life, taking something away from Saul.
Right.
That all came as a result. It got so strong that David was playing the harp to soothe Saul's emotions.
Yeah.
And the Bible said Saul took a spear and threw it at him and tried to kill him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just vexed.
Yeah. Yeah.
This man is tormented in his mind.
Yeah.
And so we see here that after a long time of yielding to that thing, yielding to unforgiveness, offense, and so forth, that Saul became vexed emotionally. You see what I'm talking about? I want you to see the more he yielded to unforgiveness and offense, the more the door was open to an unclean spirit.
That's right.
This evil spirit got a hold of him and troubled him. There are multitudes of people today that do not want to address the real issues of why they're having emotional problems.
Yes, sir. Come on. Yep.
The answer is not a pill.
No, sir. No.
Now, I'm not saying that people, they say, well, it's a physical problem in their brain. They need some medication to balance out whatever, hormones or whatever. I'm not saying that might not be something that scientists can find and see that it is a part of their physical makeup. Something's deficient in their physical makeup. But here's what we need to ask, the question we need to ask. It's the old I guess you could say it, the old, which came first, the chicken or the egg kind of thing.
All right, come on, come on.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
I mean, they say, well, they're having, what the scientists are trying to tell us is, now listen to me, don't get upset at me. Listen, if you have to be on medication until you get enough faith in you to get these things balanced out, then you get on medication.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But my point is, we've got to look at this in light of the Word.
Yes. Yeah.
Amen. I'm leaving right after today, so if you're mad at me, I... You look at Jesus' ministry, He ministered to people who were vexed and tormented and harassed. There were people like that back in His day, just like there are people like that in our day.
That's right.
But He had answers for them from the spirit realm.
Amen.
And God still has answers for this today in the spirit realm by being doers of the Word. But people say, scientists have studied these things out, and they say so-and-so has these troubles in their emotions or whatever because they're deficient of certain hormones or whatever. So I don't doubt that there's a scientific side to it, but it's the chicken or the egg thing, which came first. They're saying that because of the physical condition, it's causing the emotional problems. The Bible says the opposite.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Go over to Romans chapter number 8. I don't know how many of you are going to like me after this. Now, I'm not saying this. It's probably going to come out a little strong, but I'm not saying it's strong because of, you know, unkindness towards anybody. I'm really, to be real honest with you, Romans chapter 8 is where you're going. I'm saying it out of the kind of spirit of faith I had to have to overcome these things in my own life.
Amen. Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Now, not out of unkindness for anybody. I just had to see what the Word actually said and say, that's my answer. I'm taking it. Look at what Romans chapter number 8 says. Verse number 5. They that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. In other words, they keep their minds on the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, you could say mind, or they keep their minds on the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now get verse number 6. Here's the answer. For to be carnally minded, in other words, to mind carnal things, the word carnal means fleshly, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, I want you to notice that he says to be carnally minded is death. It ministers, or ministers is a good word, ministers death to your being. Now, somebody said, what is carnal mindedness? Well, it's just minding things of the flesh.
Yeah, amen.
Including unforgiveness.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Your flesh has the fleshly nature of unforgiveness. It doesn't want to forgive anybody.
Right. Yeah.
Has anybody ever been hurt in here? I mean, somebody did you wrong?
Come on.
You can take that hurt and think about it and keep stewing over it and and thinking about how they did you wrong and how you're so mad at them and so forth. Yeah. And you can minister death to yourself or you can take the mind of Christ. Yeah. You can take the mind of the Word and say, I'm gonna forgive because, you know, it says in the... Book of Matthew, the 18th chapter, Jesus was talking, and the Bible talks about Jesus said, you know, forgiving. How many times should we forgive? Jesus said 70 times 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, that's good.
And they're going to increase our faith.
Yeah.
And then Jesus said this. He said, you know, he told that parable of the man that had been, you know, treated wrong, and the king forgave him. You remember that? Right. Of a great amount of money that he owed him. But then this same man that was forgiven of the great amount of money went out and took a man that owed him like $2 and took him by the neck and said, pay me. No, I don't have it, but I'll pay you. And he put him in the slave labor camp until he paid it all. Remember that? And go over there because I'm trying to preach something. Unless you see it in your Bible, you will not. It'll not hit you right. Go to Matthew chapter number 18. I want you to see this verse because I was going to quote it. I just want you to circle it. Look at this passage. This is when Jesus said, chapter 18, verse 21, Peter said unto him, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Peter thought he was doing real good, 7 times. And Jesus said, no. Verse 22, I say unto thee, not until 7 times, but until 70.
Yeah.
70 times 7. And if you look at other passages, that's all in one day. That's 490, isn't it?
Yeah.
490 times in one day.
One day.
I don't think he's saying, on number 491, get him.
Yeah.
I don't think he's saying that. I think he's saying, just keep on doing it. Just keep on doing it.
Amen.
Well, I just can't. Okay, take death then. Take death.
Yeah.
Okay, we're almost, look at this passage. Jesus told this parable then, starting in verse number 23. Man taking and reckoning his servants and so forth, and one owed him a bunch of money, and he said, I'll pay you. And he said, no, I'll just forgive you. Then that man took somebody else that owed him something and threw him in a slave labor camp. And then the Lord called him in verse number 32 and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Should not thou also had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? So basically, this man that forgave him all the money called him back in and said, now I'm restoring all your debt.
Yep.
Now look at verse 34. The Lord was wroth and delivered him unto the tormentors. Circle that. Tormentors. Till he should pay all that was due unto him. Tormentors. Why? Why torments? Unforgiveness. Holding thoughts of unforgiveness in your mind will affect you in your soul. It'll open the door for an evil spirit to begin to torment you. Just like King Saul in the Old Testament. After chapter of unforgiveness and trying to get revenge, he had an unclean spirit. He had a tormenting spirit harass his mind. In other words, he started having emotional problems. Well, that's the way people say it today.
Yes, sir.
Now, people say, well, it's because of an imbalance in their brain, maybe. Some sort of imbalance chemically or something like that. I don't doubt that scientists can see that. But the question is, which came first, the chicken or the egg?
Come on now. Come on.
Romans chapter number 8, 6, verse 6 says that it was to be carnally minded is death. Yeah. Right there's your answer.
Amen.
Let's put it this way. To be unforgiveness minded. I know there's more than just unforgiveness that people take into their carnal mind. But this is one area.
Yeah.
Unforgiveness is carnal thinking.
Amen. That's right.
It's thinking thoughts that your flesh are giving you.
Amen.
Your flesh has the nature of unforgiveness in it.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
So to be carnally minded is death. Death to what? Well, whatever you open the door to.
Right.
And I think death here could be in the mind and the emotions, and it could manifest such as emotional problems, but I think it could affect the physical body as well. I think that's what scientists are seeing. They're seeing these chemical imbalances. They're seeing them as a result of people being carnally minded.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, but the doctor said my dad had it, and so therefore my dad passed it to me, and I got chemical imbalances as well. Well, maybe that's true physically. But what caused it to begin with? And what will fix it?
Amen.
To be spiritually minded, in other words, to keep your mind on spiritual things, is life. And I think this is very important that he added this, and peace. Woo, glory. I am thoroughly convinced because of where I was that I had the same problems my dad had all the medications for in my physical brain. When I first got saved, I had the same problems. But I am thoroughly convinced that imbalance has been fixed in my brain.
Yes, amen.
Because of taking the thoughts of the Word.
Amen.
Thoughts of the Word have fixed it. There's healing, just like there's healing for everything else. There's healing for imbalances in the brain.
Hallelujah.
But you can't expect it to happen by just taking the fence and holding it. All right, you out there? You're going home. Satan seeks to corrupt people's minds and thoughts and hold them in unforgiveness. And just like Saul, it'll open the door to torments. Now, go over here to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. I think we've got to teach this in the body of Christ. I have compassion on people on medications. I hope you understand that. because I've been there and I know what that's like.
Yeah.
I know what it's like to have headaches because of torments and vexation.
Yeah.
But I also know what it's like to be free.
Amen. Praise God.
I love you enough to give you the real answer.
Amen.
So you don't have to live the rest of your life with a Band-Aid on a cancer.
Amen.
Thank God there's real answers. God's got real answers for real problems. And his answers are permanent. I don't think God wants us, you know, you have a driveway and you got maybe the little cracks in the driveway and weeds or grass grows up in there, you know. Maybe you're out mowing your grass and you see that weed and you just weed whack it off. But the next week you come back, it's going to be there again. If you don't kill the roots, you're just going to have to keep weed whacking it.
Yeah.
And that's the way a lot of Christians are doing.
Yeah.
They're weed whacking problems.
Yeah.
God wants you to kill the root of the thing.
Kill the root.
He has real answers where it's really fixed. 2 Corinthians 2, notice here. Paul said this. This is a verse we're familiar with. Verse number 10. We're going to read verses 10 and 11. But let's read verse 11 before we read verse 10, because I think it'll make more sense. Verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Have you ever, you've heard that verse, haven't you? Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. And we know he's talking about, you know, we need to renew our mind, because notice he said, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Ignorance means a lack of knowledge of the word.
Right.
So getting the knowledge of the word renews our mind. And keep Satan from having the advantage of us.
Right.
But look at verse number 10 in the context of that. Whom you forgive anything, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Jesus Christ, lest Satan should have the advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices.
Amen.
The context of that is forgiveness.
Yes.
Amen. Isn't it?
Amen.
He's saying unforgiveness gives Satan the advantage.
Right.
So to be free from demons, when I say demons, I'm talking about things that torment people's minds.
Right.
You and I are going to have to be forgiving people.
Yes.
We can't afford to hold grudges.
No, sir.
Or any ill will.
Yeah.
Or animosity.
Yes, sir.
Towards anyone.
Yes, sir.
Zero.
Zero.
Zilch.
Yeah. Amen.
We want to be completely free.
Amen.
That means we give no place,
no place
to the devil.
Amen.
Amen. So to walk in unforgiveness, bitterness, or hatred is basically you putting up a big neon sign that says vacancy. You don't see that too much today in the hotels, but used to be years ago, whenever somebody's hotel filled up, they had a sign out there they could light up. It said vacancy.
Yeah.
Or there was actually a no, and then there was a vacancy, and they'd light up one of them or the other.
Yeah.
No vacancy or vacancy.
Yeah.
In other words, you can come in. But if it said no vacancy, that meant you might as well keep on driving.
That's
no
right.
Use pulling in here to see if we have a room for you, because
yeah.
There's no room for you.
Don't waste your time.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And so, but if they say vacancy, that means come on in. Yeah. We got place for you.
Yeah.
So whenever you and I walk in unforgiveness or hold a grudge, it's like we got a big sign outside that says, come on in right here.
Yeah.
We got room and board for you.
Yeah.
We got a warm bed.
Yeah.
To demons.
Yeah.
That torment.
Yeah.
And harass.
Yeah.
But whenever we have a no vacancy sign, because we're walking in love and forgiving people.
Yes.
That's basically you saying to the devil, you might as well keep on going, because you can't get a place here. Amen. Don't even turn in here. There's no room here. It's just, we're basically saying that unforgiveness and so forth is a big open door to the devil, especially in your mind, in your emotions, to torment your mind and your emotions. You know, I don't know how many in the area I live in, we have a lot of bugs in the summertime. I don't know if you have a lot of bugs around here, but in the summertime, I mean, you know how it is in the nighttime. They swarm around the light in front of your house or whatever. They're attracted to the light. And you got to keep your doors and windows closed because they'll all come right in.
Yeah.
And let's say you're bringing the groceries in and you're not, you know, closing the door every time you come in and out of the house, because you just want to go right back out. Yep. Well, you leave that door open and critters will get, all kinds of things will get in.
Yep.
And things you don't want,
yep.
Bugs and
That's right.
critters.
Yep.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
And so whenever you and I keep the door open to the devil, stuff's going to get in that you don't want.
That's right.
Stuff that you don't normally fellowship with.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And the devil's not going to stay out just because, well, you're a good Christian.
No.
He's an opportunist.
Yes.
You need to know that about him.
Yes.
You can have authority over him, but yet give place to him, and he'll take advantage of that opportunity.
Yeah, yep. That's right.
And unforgiveness is his opportunity. Now, go over to Ephesians chapter number 6. I heard y'all were shouting a lot yesterday. I hope you shout about this too.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of those things. I tend to do some preaching like this, a lot of preaching like this. You shout later if you do what I preach.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Ephesians 6:12. Notice these forces of darkness. When we were talking about the pollution that's in this world, let's notice the terminology here. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Notice that third term, the rulers of the darkness of this world. Rulers of the darkness of this world. That's not talking about, you know, at nighttime when the sun goes down.
Right.
That's talking about spiritual darkness.
Yeah.
The kingdom of darkness.
Yes.
So I want you to notice the way it says that. These forces, what he's saying is they can only rule over those who are yet in spiritual darkness.
Yeah.
He can't rule over those who have the light.
Yeah.
Remember in John's gospel, the first chapter, the light shined in the darkness. Talking about the enemy. The enemy could not comprehend it.
Yep.
Remember that? There's more to defeating the enemy or living in victory from the enemy than just being a Christian.
Right.
Being a Christian will take you to heaven, but being a Christian doesn't equal being free down in this life in your mind.
That's right. Amen.
You can yield your thought life to the enemy even though you're saved.
Yep, that's right. Yep, that's right.
But I want you to see that Satan can only rule where there's darkness.
Yes.
Well, we don't know what darkness is. Well, we could take a whole hour to preach on it, but go over to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John, the epistle of 1 John chapter number 2. Notice verse number 10 and 11. Get a hold of this. This is huge.
Yes, sir.
No matter how far I've gone, I even in recent years have had to really stand against a fence trying to get in.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Because this is one of the devil's favorite strategies.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Amen.
Notice here 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 10 and 11. He that loves his brother abideth in the light. Look at that. Love and light.
Amen.
He that, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him, but he that hates his brother is in darkness. And walks in darkness and knows not whether he goes because that light has blinded his eyes. He's talking about Christians here. He's not talking to sinners. He's talking about loving our brother, talking about our brother in Christ. So notice, walking in love is walking in light. Walking in hatred, or we could add all that is, that's unforgiveness, bitterness, revenge, and all those things, offense. Walking, in other words, not walking in love. Anything that's not walking in love is walking in darkness.
Yes, amen.
Okay, put that together with Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12.
Uh-huh.
That Satan can only rule over those who are in spiritual darkness.
Right.
If we walk in hatred, we walk in unforgiveness, we're walking in spiritual darkness.
That's right. Amen.
At least to a degree.
That's right. Amen.
And what does that do? It enables Satan to have dominion over us.
Yep.
And let me tell you, whenever we get into those things, the first place it'll open the door to is torment and vexation in our minds.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you a story of a man that I knew. He wasn't a part of my church. He was a relative of somebody, actually a staff member, actually two staff members, a relative of some staff members in my church. I had met him a couple of times. I didn't know him, but a couple of times just sitting at a table talking to him. But he was a, the family didn't know for sure if he was a believer or not. He was a Vietnam veteran. He had been in some pretty horrendous situations in Vietnam and was really, he was on a lot of medications for vexation and so forth, a lot of torments, and just was one of those kinds of people that he was kind of the outsider of the family. He was a little bit unusual, you know, and lived quite a unstable life. Alcohol and a lot of things. So I had known him a little bit and shared the things of God with him. I believed he was a Christian, but the family wasn't quite sure because they weren't sure if he just prayed with them to receive Jesus to sort of to get him off his back or, you know. How many of you know some things you don't know for sure?
Right.
Anyway, so, but this man, he was, maybe close to 60 years old. And my staff members got a call that he had died. One of the neighbors went over because they had called him and tried to get a hold of him, and he didn't answer for about a day. And they went over there, and he had died in his house. He was about 60 years old, too young to die.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, the family didn't know for sure they know he had prayed to receive the Lord, but they didn't know if he just did it to get him off their back. How many of you know you got to do it from your heart?
Right.
You got to mean it and believe it. So they didn't know for sure, except, I don't know, a couple weeks later, one of the family members had this experience right before they woke up. They were waking up from night sleeping, and right before they woke up, they had a dream. I call them night visions, where they saw they were standing just in the air over the house where he had died in. And they were standing in the air, and this man's spirit came up out of the house in a laying position and was coming up, and he was beginning to stand up erect as he went on up, and they saw him going on up to heaven. Well, that was comforting to the family,
right,
to know that he went to heaven. But yet, right on the other hand, that wasn't the main thing that the Lord gave this man the vision about. The main thing that the Lord gave this man a vision about was whenever he was coming up, he saw something on his face come off of his face. And he said it looked like a mask on his face. And he said this mask separated from his face, and he began to go on up, and this mask began to fall away. And he said as he looked at the mask, he realized the mask had feet and had legs and had hands and arms.
Yeah.
It was a demon.
Yeah.
And this thing was falling away from his face. And as it fell away, the man in the vision saw the backside of the mask. And the backside of the mask was a TV screen. And the TV screen was running reruns of all those horrific things that had happened in Vietnam. And not only that, everything that anybody had ever done against him, any offense that they had ever committed against him, any wrong they had ever done, anything they had ever said, that thing was just running on a TV screen, just running, just running, just running, just running.
Yeah.
Tormenting his mind.
Yeah.
That's what was being in front of him all his life.
Yeah.
He's a Christian.
Yeah.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
He's a Christian. He's going on up to heaven.
Yeah.
Family wasn't sure. They knew he had prayed, but they weren't sure if he meant it. He must have, because he went on up to heaven. Praise God.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
But see, there's something better than just living tormented down here,
yeah,
and then going on up to heaven.
Yeah. Amen.
There's victory down here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Victory in your mind.
Amen. Praise God.
That man, he was born again, but he didn't have a renewed mind.
That's right.
And because he had never done anything with his mind to renew his mind,
yeah,
his mind was tormented,
yeah,
and that was actually a demon running reruns.
Yep. Yep.
Just running reruns. Yep. Have you ever had something somebody did to you just keep coming and keep, yeah, coming and keep coming? That's demonic.
Yep. Yeah. Amen.
I said, that's demonic.
That's demonic. Amen.
Well, somebody said, what was that? That was the devil's cheap imitation of what God wants us, what God has for us.
That's right.
The Bible said, my son, attend to my words. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart.
Yep.
Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
God's word is what's supposed to be playing in front of our eyes.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But the devil wants to, he understands the principle of how to change a person's mind.
Yeah.
And he uses it if he can. He doesn't have the authority to.
Yeah.
But if somebody will let him by not renewing their mind, he'll use it to blind their mind. He'll use it to torment their
mind. That's right.
These things are not the figment of somebody's imagination. This is not somebody just making something up when they're tormented.
Right.
This is a spiritual reality.
Yes, amen. That's right.
Our culture doesn't want to talk about demons.
Uh-huh. No.
And I'm not trying to glorify the devil today.
Right.
I'm trying to make you knowledgeable of how serious this kind of thing is.
Amen.
That man was tormented. He was harassed when I was around him. He was very unsound. He was very unstable.
Yeah.
But that was only because he gave place to the enemy.
Yes.
Probably through ignorance. He didn't probably realize, because they said in that vision, he came up, and whenever that thing fell off of him, they said a light hit his face, and his face lit up. I'm free! I'm free! I'm free! But he could have been free all those years down here in this life.
Amen.
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 Let's go for God's best. What do you say?
Amen.
Our society doesn't want to talk about these things.
Yeah.
Or they want to just treat it with a medication.
Right. Come on, sir.
Listen, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
In our culture, not in the church, but in the culture around us, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, turn on 1 6 o'clock news broadcast.
Yeah.
And you have to admit, something is wrong in our culture.
Yeah.
People are flaking out.
Yeah. Amen.
And it's mental.
Yeah.
Because of an unrenewed mind. People are yielding more and more to the flesh, more and more to evil spirits because of yielding to the flesh. But we have the answer.
Hallelujah.
I said, we have the answer. Glory. We don't have to live like this.
Amen.
Hallelujah. People are hollering, the devil, the devil, the devil. You know, they want you to pray that they be delivered. Exercise authority over this, that I be delivered. But you see, without you controlling your thought life, it doesn't matter what somebody else prays or does over you. It, without you controlling your thought life, that thing will come right back because you've got the door open to it.
Yeah.
Glory to God. You can shut that door.
Yeah. Amen.
I shut that door years ago.
Amen.
Amen. People say, set me free, you know, pray for me or whatever. I believe in casting out devils. I believe in exercising the authority over the devil.
Yeah.
I'm all in on that. I've done it and do it.
Yeah.
But my point is, you do people a disservice by not giving them the answer for whenever he comes back.
Amen.
We've got to give them the answer, and that is, you got to take thought captive.
Amen.
Cast down imaginations. Rule over those things.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Apostle Paul said in Acts 26, whenever Jesus appeared to him and sent him out as a minister, he recounted it in Acts chapter number 26. He said, Jesus sent me to deliver them from darkness and to turn them from darkness to light.
Yeah.
He didn't say deliver. He said to turn them from darkness to light. People today are saying, deliver me from darkness. And the Bible says Jesus is saying, turn from darkness.
Yeah.
Well, apply that to unforgiveness. Turn from that unforgiveness.
Amen.
Well, I just can't. I just can't. Well, yes, you can.
Yeah.
The Bible wouldn't ask you to do something you can't do.
That's right.
So it's not always deliver, deliver. It's sometimes turn, turn.
Amen.
Amen. In other words, just stop it.
Amen. That's it. That's it.
Just stop yielding to that flesh. That flesh wants to hold that grudge. It wants to remember what that person did wrong to you or whatever you think they did wrong. Some people didn't do you anything wrong. You just think they did you something wrong. You can turn from that. You can stop that. I know the flesh doesn't want to forgive, but you can do it anyway.
Amen.
Remember whenever Jesus said, forgive 70 times 7 in Matthew's account, we read John's account, but in Matthew's account, the apostle said, increase our faith.
Right.
That just simply means you do that by faith.
Yes.
You forgive people by faith.
By faith.
You know what that means? That means you don't have the feelings, but you do it anyway.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Somebody's getting some help this morning.
Amen.
Woo! Glory be to God.
Amen.
And if you don't do it, it'll open the door to mental problems, emotional problems.
Yeah. Amen.
But you can shut that down just as you can shut that down like a bad girlfriend.
Yeah.
Amen. Bam! Shut that down. Stop taking those calls. Amen. Unforgiveness is just the flesh.
Yes.
I said it's just the flesh.
Just the flesh.
It's a fleshly thing. It's the fleshly nature.
Amen.
People have heard of the authority of the believer, but they've heard just enough to be dangerous.
Yes, come on.
They've heard about rebuking the devil, but they don't want to do anything with their flesh.
Come on.
The Bible says, really, if you study the Bible very carefully, that Satan takes advantage of yielding to the flesh. People get to the place where they're in it, they have a habit of certain lines, pornography or whatever, smoking, addiction or something, and they say, I just can't get free. Well, they kept yielding to it until their flesh got bound, and Satan will reinforce that. But he got in through the flesh. He got in through the flesh, through yielding to the flesh. Brother Hagin said that a demon can't not attack or afflict a Christian unless they yield to the flesh or they give him their mind. There's no other way that Satan can contact you. Thank God we've got the answers. If you crucify the flesh, walk in the light of love, Satan will have nothing that he can work against you or nothing to bind you with. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So don't think you can walk in the flesh and still make this authority work for you.
Amen.
Amen. If you don't let these things get in, then the door's closed to the devil.
Right.
Amen. And it's also closed to mental and emotional problems.
Amen.
God has the answer, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
It won't be easy on your flesh. Your flesh will remind you. And Satan might even reinforce that. Might try to play that screen just in front of you. Just that same thing going over and over and over again.
Yep.
And the devil might try to reinforce that.
Yeah.
And the flesh likes to feel like a victim. It likes to feel like I'm wounded. It likes to feel like somebody keeps me from having any, they've done me wrong, so I'm limited in life, or I can't do something that God wants me to do because of this person or what they did to me. It likes to feel like a victim. But anytime you're feeling like a victim and thoughts of all that is coming against you, just know this, the devil is working on you.
That's it.
When Peter said to Jesus, don't go to the cross, one translation said, pity thyself. And the Bible said, Jesus turned around and said, get behind me, Satan.
Amen.
Any pity parties?
Yep.
Any bad,
come on.
Feeling like you're a victim?
Yep.
The devil's working on you.
That's it.
You can shut him down.
Amen.
And you need to shut him down.
Amen.
Get out in the aisle and dance.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Tell the enemy you're a liar.
Yep. Amen.
Fight the good fight of faith. Rebuke
Amen.
Those thoughts.
Amen.
Amen. These things, there are people that, I'll tell you another example. I was going to close here, but I'm going to get just a couple other examples in here. I know a person, a close relative of my wife's, that was very unstable mentally and emotionally. Same circumstances, medications, outbursts. Unstable mind. The Bible says he has a sound mind for us.
Right.
And this man had an unsound mind. But he was a Christian. But it all started with one thought.
Yeah.
One thought. One thought. One thought produced all the instability.
Yeah.
And months at a time in and out of hospitals and psych wards and stuff.
Yeah.
The devil's not playing games.
No, sir.
But that one thought was way back years, actually decades ago, he had fallen into adultery. He repented, got it right. But yet the thought was, because he didn't have a renewed mind and didn't answer the wrong thought, the thought was that God had not forgiven him. And actually, when he got more and more tormented, he would cry and say, I'm not going to go to heaven. I'm going to go to hell because God won't forgive me. But it all started with one thought, and it took him all the way to the mental institution. That's why the Bible says, don't take any thought. Because those thoughts that you let in, any one thought you let in from the enemy will breed like rabbits.
Yeah. Amen.
You know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
Rabbits multiply very quickly. If you've ever raised rabbits or anything, they multiply. And that's the way the devil's thoughts are. One thought. You let one thought. You have an unrestrained mind and don't guard your mind with one thought. That the thought will get in and it'll start producing other thoughts and other thoughts and other thoughts.
Yeah.
Before you know it, your mind is becoming tormented.
Yeah.
Thank God we've got the answers. Amen.
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 Can I just say a couple more things so we can take a break here?
Yeah.
Isaiah 43:25, it talks about God forgiving us. And I'll just refer to this. You can look at it quickly if you'd like. This is the way God forgives us. 43, verse number 25. God's talking, I am he that blots out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. That just means he forgives, but he also forgets. If he won't remember it, if he won't remember it, he forgets. Isn't that, so that's the way God loves us.
Amen.
And the Bible said we're to love one another as he loved us.
Yes.
So when we forgive, we're to forget.
Amen.
I don't mean the devil won't try to bring it back, but you say, no, Mr. Devil, that's already gone. I forgot that.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's the way he loved us, so that's the way we love one another.
Yeah.
So when he brings a picture of that back to our mind, we answer it.
Yes.
That's
Amen.
The way we forgive. Well, I just don't feel like I did. What does feelings have to do with it?
Amen.
That's what faith is for.
That's right.
We forgive by faith.
Amen.
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 Amen. Faith works by love, but love works by faith.
Amen. That's right.
You got to walk in love by faith. You won't always feel like it.
That's right.
And so whenever a picture just tries to keep coming,
yeah.
You know that an evil spirit is shooting that at your mind.
Yeah.
You need to know that and deal with that.
Amen.
But the way you deal with it is you deal with the thought and then you deal with the spirit.
Amen.
Don't just try to deal with the spirit. You answer the thought with the truth of God's word.
Amen. That's right.
And so he's trying really to take over your thought life and make you unsound mentally and emotionally. But you've got an inheritance of a sound mind. You take your inheritance of a sound mind by taking those thoughts captive.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, did you get anything out of that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I don't know, you know, where you are, what's going on in your, you know, life and what's trying to afflict you in the area of unforgiveness. But I just had that in my spirit. Somebody needs to take this because this is saving, taking these things to heart and believing them and acting on them will save you years of torment.
Yes.
And possibly even the mental institution itself.
Amen.
Because the devil's not playing games.
No, sir.
Listen, but the weapons you have to fight against it are mightier.
Hallelujah.
Mighty through God. They're mightier than anything Satan's got. It doesn't matter how much that thing's trying to harass you, how much that thing's trying to torment you.
Yeah.
What you've got to destroy it and cast it down is mightier than anything he's got.
Amen.
So you just take your weapons and you use them.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Glory. Stand up and shout this morning. Praise God. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. Glory to God. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for freedom. Free, free, free. Glory. Glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. This is an area a lot of ministers, I don't think, are willing to address. But I'm just bold.
Amen.
Because people need help. I needed help. And you know, whenever you found the answer, you want others to get the answer. Amen. So take your answer and be blessed and free. Amen. We'll see you just in a few minutes.